hopefully everyone has an outline. I had some in the back there. If you don't, maybe raise your hand and Julie can get you one. And but Philippians chapter 2, and we'll be finishing the chapter 2 today. And so verses 19 through 30. I've titled this message, Godly Men. And you think about chapters 1 and 2, and lots of people know the theme of Philippians is joy. But lots of people don't realize that there's also going along with joy is the idea of humility. And the idea of, Paul says, put other people before yourself. Chapter 1, he opens up. He says how that he was willing to put other people's needs before his own. And he didn't care whether he lived or died. He wanted Christ to be glorified. Then we begin to continue on to chapter 2, where it speaks about Christ and his humility, and how that he was willing to come down from heaven, leave the glories of heaven, come down in poverty, put on humanity, and then he died on the cross for our sins. Now he's going to look at two individuals tonight, Timothy and Epaphroditus. These individuals he lifts up as an example of humility and says, look at these two individuals and look at their characteristics and try to model your life after these two individuals. And so Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know this proven character, that as the Son with his Father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Verse 25, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because of the work of the Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what is lacking in your service toward me. Let's open a word of prayer. Father, thank you for how you love and care for us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and giving us eternal life. As we look at this passage tonight, may you show us the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus. They're willing to lay their lives down and be used for your service. May we desire to have this same characteristics in our life, desiring to put other people's first before our own selfish desires. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So look a little closer at these verses 19 through 30. It says here, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. And so Paul wants to send Timothy to the Philippian believers. He says here, I want to send him to you shortly. So he's not sending him right now, but he says, shortly I will be sending him to you. And it says, that I may also be encouraged when I know your estate. And so he wants to send Timothy out to Philippi soon, and then he wants to come back and report to him how the Philippian church is being encouraged. Verse 20, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. And to think about all of Paul's companions that traveled with him, he lifts up Timothy and says, this individual is one like-minded like me, and also he's very sincere, he's compassionate to others. For all seek their own. looked back to chapter 1, how that those people who did things with selfish motives, he's contrasting how that Timothy was opposite of these individuals in chapter 1. He does not seek his own, but he does it for the benefit of others. It says here, "For all seek their own, but not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." And so he says, you know, when Paul established this church in Philippi, when he had received the Macedonian call and traveled from present-day Turkey up to Philippi, Timothy was with him, and he helped establish this church in Philippi. And the Philippian believers knew about this individual. They had seen his proven character. They knew his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. And so they had seen his proven characteristics and how that he was advancing the gospel. Verse 23, "Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me." He says, I hope to send him to you, but I first want to see what's happening with the trial that I am presently waiting here in Rome, waiting for the verdict of whether I will be let free or I'll be executed. I want to see what's going to happen to me first. He is useful to me. Think about it. He says, you know, I could have sent you, but he's useful. I want to keep him till I find out what's happening with me, because he is useful. Verse 24, "But I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall also come shortly." And so Paul may begin to have a picture of saying, you know what, I am beginning to see that I'm going to be released. And so since I'm going to be released, I soon shall come shortly. Verse 25, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." And so he says he wants to send Timothy, but not until he finds out the verdict. But he says, I will send to you right now, I am sending Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, the one who ministered to my need. And so a second individual enters the picture. Now, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was from Philippi, and he carried this financial gift to Paul as he traveled from Macedonia to Rome. He brought a gift from the Philippian church to be an encouragement and a financial gain for Paul while he was in house arrest. Also, the Philippian church wanted Epaphroditus to stay with Paul and to help him and minister to him and encourage him. And so they sent him with his gift, and also they wanted him to stay in Rome and minister to Paul. But it says here, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." So Paul is sending Epaphroditus back now to Philippi. He says, my brother, so he's a brother in Christ, my fellow worker, so he worked with him in the gospel. He's also a soldier. And he associated himself with Paul in Rome. And if Paul would have been put to death, all those who associated with him could also face that same fate. So he was willing to recognize he was a soldier, and he had the same similar enemy of trying to oppose Satan and trying to share the gospel. But your messenger, so he's the Philippian messenger and the one who ministered to my need. And so he accomplished his purpose of coming. He delivered this financial gift, and also he ministered to Paul in his time of need. Verse 26, since he was longing for you all. And so think about it. I am sending you back Epaphroditus because why is he sending back Epaphroditus? Because verse 26, he was longing for you all. Epaphroditus was longing for the church of Philippi. Why? And was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So think about it. He travels from present-day Macedonia, and he brings with him to Rome, and he brings with him this financial gift. But back then, traveling this long distance over the Mediterranean Sea, sometime along on the path, it's believed that he became sick, even to the point of death. And so you think about it, he was doing the Lord's will, and then God allowed him to become very ill, to the point of death. And then he reached Paul, and news probably got sent back to the Philippian church that their godly leader in their church was very sick to the point of death, and they were distressed. And then, by God's grace, he was miraculously healed. And this news had not yet traveled back to the Philippian church. And so Paul is bringing this message back to the church saying, yes, you heard your messenger became sick, but now by God's grace and mercy, he has been healed, and I am sending him back to you to encourage you. And so it says here, since you have he was longing for you all, and he was distressed because you heard he was sick. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. We talked this morning in Sunday school, we talked about how that there are instances where God steps in and he changes all things. So, but God had mercy on Epaphroditus, and not only on him, but on me also. So also on Paul, he had mercy. Lest that I should have sorrow upon sorrow. To think about it, Paul said, you know what? If the Philippian church did this very gracious act of sending this financial gift to me and also sending this messenger to minister to my needs, if he died on his way here, I would have sorrow upon sorrow. But God was merciful to me and did not allow that to happen. Verse 28, therefore I send him more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and may be less sorrowful. To think about it, these individuals, they had sorrow because they thought maybe their godly leader, this Epaphroditus, had died. But yet now when Paul is sending him back to encourage the church and saying, thank you for the financial gift, thank you for sending this individual to minister my needs, I am now sending him back thankful, and I want him to be an encouragement to you. Verse 29, receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. And it is believed here that possibly some people in the church thought that Epaphroditus was possibly being a burden upon Paul, and he was coming back because Paul didn't need it, didn't want him. But he accomplished his purpose of why the church sent him. And Paul is saying, hold this individual in high esteem because he came and accomplished the purpose. But now because of his great longing for you, I am sending him back. And so verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. And in this verse, we also have two imperatives. It says here the word receive him and also hold such men in esteem are both imperatives or commands that Paul says receive him with gladness. Verse 30, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So you think about it. Because of the work of Christ, because of his desire to minister to my need, he came close to death. And so he died because he was willing to sacrifice his life in order to minister to Paul. Not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking, both a financial gift and also someone to minister and to encourage him during his house arrest. And so he was thankful for this opportunity, and he says, you know what, I'm sending him back, and receive him as you would a war hero. He accomplished his purpose. Don't look down upon him, but receive him and be glad because your gift and your desire to minister to me, I've received. If you think about this message tonight, Paul lifts up these two individuals, both Timothy and Epaphroditus, and says, look at these individuals. They put other people's needs before their own. And first off, verses 19 through 24 talk about seven spiritual qualities of Timothy. And the first spiritual quality Timothy demonstrated in verse 19 was that he was similar to Paul. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your estate. And so the word here is send. He wanted to send Timothy as a model of spiritual servant. And so he wants to send Timothy soon. He wants to, not right now, but soon, he says he wants to send Timothy to be a model, to be a leader in this Philippian church. And Timothy, he was a constant companion for Paul for 10 years during his missionary travels. And so Timothy had seen his life every day, 365 days a year, for 10 years. He was seeing Paul invest in his own life. Paul called him a son in the faith. And we also look at the Bible, two books he wrote to Timothy to encourage this young pastor. And so this individual was a constant companion of Paul for 10 years. In 1 Timothy, it talks about how he was a my child in the faith. Paul had faithfully discipled Timothy We also see that when a man is fully discipled, he will be like his teacher. And Paul trusted Timothy with his entire ministry. He could send Timothy in his place with confidence. Only Timothy and Titus received this title. If you look through all the scripture, only two individuals, only two of Paul's companions, he lifted up saying they were my children in the faith. Child emphasizes Paul's role as a spiritual father to Timothy. And Timothy was Paul's most cherished pupil. Paul had full confidence in Timothy and wanted the Philippians believers to not be disappointed that he was not coming himself. And so as he sends this letter back to him, they were probably hoping that Paul would come to them soon. But he says, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I'm going to send Timothy to you, and he'll be just like me. He was among me for 10 years, and I have confidence in him that he will accomplish everything that I could. As far as an illustration, are you willing to give up what is useful? Many charities that help people with various needs depend on donations of unwanted clothing and household items from those who have more than enough. And it's good to give away unused things so they can benefit others. But we are often more reluctant to part with things of value that we use than those that we use every day. When Paul was in prison in Rome, he needed continuing encouragement in the companionship of trusted friends. Yet he sent two of his closest comrades to help the followers of Jesus in Philippi. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, and I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Paul freely gave to others what he most needed himself. Whatever we feel is most valued in our lives today could be a great benefit to someone we know. It may be our time, friendship, encouragement, a listening ear, or a helping hand. When we give away what the Lord has given to us, he is honored, others are helped, and we are blessed. Think about Paul in this situation. He is giving back two of his companions who are ministering and encouraging him. And he was willing to give up them for the benefit of the church. The second quality we see here in Timothy was sympathetic. He was concerned with their welfare. Verse 20, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." The word like-minded means one-souled. Timothy was one in thought, feeling, and spirit. He was unique in being Paul's protege. Think also about the word here, care. Paul had no one else like Timothy. He had this strong feeling for someone. And even if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, all of Paul's other promising young pastors departed him. But it says Timothy was faithful. Other promising believers turned to other purposes in the world. And Paul lifted up this individual and says, you know what? Look at this individual. He has godly qualities, and receive him just as you would receive me. And it reminds me of the illustration of Billy Connors, who was believed to be the best pitching coach in Major League Baseball. Although Billy Connors was not a great athlete himself, many people considered him to be the best pitching coach in Major League Baseball today. New York Yankees manager Joe Torre said, "Sometimes the best players can't coach because they are such naturals, whereas guys like Billy had to work at it and pay attention to all the little things." This account of caring and competent coach made me think of Timothy in the New Testament. Though at times he seemed timid and fearful, Paul considered him proven and dependable in guiding others. The apostle wrote, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for you." And so Timothy had this compassion and this care for the Philippian church. We also see here Timothy was single-minded. "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Some of Paul's other companions must have been on other missionary journeys. Luke, Aristarchus, and Epaphroditus were not mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 1. But they're also not mentioned in this letter. And so he's believed that these individuals were faithful to Paul, but they were on another journey. It says here also to seek their own. This is a contrast to Timothy. Continually says they continually seek after selfish interest. The leaders in Rome were selfish, loveless, and they were double-minded. They were spiritually unstable. And so think about these individuals. Paul says, these individuals I would not trust. Also in Colossians, the last book we looked at, Demas was an individual who was led away by the world and its influences. But Paul says, Timothy, you can trust. And on December 4th, 2006, a 19-year-old soldier serving in Iraq saw a grenade being thrown from a rooftop. Manning the machine gun in the turret of his Humvee, he tried to deflect the explosive, but it fell inside his vehicle. He had time to jump to safety. Instead, he threw his body over the grenade in a stunning, selfless act that saved the lives of four of his fellow soldiers. This almost unexplainable act of self-sacrifice may help us understand why the Bible tells us that there is a kind of love that is more honorable than having great knowledge or faith. And so this individual demonstrated true love by giving his life for others. The same way Timothy and this individual, he was willing to go for Paul and to sacrifice his life and say, you know what, I'm a young individual, I could do what I want, but I'm going to say I'm laying my wants on the side, and I'm going to be at the disposal of Paul, and I'm going to go where he wants me to go. We also see the next characteristic of Timothy. He was seasoned. Verse 22, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So proven character, demonstrated before everyone. He was mature. He was faithful. He was proven after testing. We also see here that examine leaders carefully. Think about this past week. We chose new deacons for the church. And as you examine their life, are they proven? Have they proven that they have godly qualities? The same way here, Paul says, look at Timothy. Look at his godly qualities. You can trust what he says. We also see here Timothy was submissive. He served the Lord, it says here in verse 22. He was used of the Lord in many types of service. He was also submissive to Paul. He did not only serve Paul, but he served the Lord with Paul. We also see here that Timothy was sacrificial. Timothy surrendered any personal plans so he could serve alongside Paul. He was young and had his whole life ahead of him, but he was patient, willing to follow the Lord's leading. We also see the word here, the gospel. He was willing to take the gospel and the good news to the lost. Think about the Philippian church, Lydia, and the Philippian jailer. Timothy was alongside Paul in sharing the gospel and advancing the church of Christ. We also see here Timothy was available. And he was willing to be available. And he could have gone and did what he wanted, but he was willing to set aside his own wants and be available at the disposal of Paul. It reminds me of a story of two rugged goats on a narrow path on a mountain. A story of two rugged mountain goats who met on a narrow pathway. On one side was a chasm 1,000 feet deep. On the other, a steep cliff rising straight up. There was no room to turn around. The goats could not back up without falling. What would they do? Finally, instead of fighting for the right to pass, one of the goats knelt down and became as flat as possible. The other goat then walked over him, and they both proceeded safely. In a sense, this is what Jesus Christ did for us when he left heaven's glory, and came to this earth to die for our sins. He saw us trapped between our sin and God's righteousness, with no way to help ourselves. He came in human likeness and took the form of a servant. Then by dying for sinful mankind, he let us walk over him so that we could experience forgiveness and eternal life. Peter pointed to the Christ as an example of humility. When we are mistreated for Jesus' sake, we must learn to be humble enough to let others walk over us if we need be. This is not a sign of weakness, but of strength and true humility. Such a response, when done for Christ's sake, brings glory to his name. So think about Timothy. He demonstrated this mindset of he was willing to be at the disposal of Paul. Verse 23, therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. And so Paul's desire, he wanted to send Timothy. He was qualified. He could be trusted. It says here also, the word here, how it goes. He still needed Timothy's help. He was useful. He was at the apostle's disposal, and it was not Timothy's decision. Timothy was submitted to his teacher. He was at Paul's every beck and call, and he joyfully served alongside Paul. We also look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, talks about how that he was not perfect. 1 Timothy chapter 4 tells us how that Timothy he struggled with self-confidence. That's why Paul wrote the letter of 1 Timothy to encourage him in his youth. He was also tempted with youthful passions. He was a sinner, yet he remembered he served a great Savior. Think about that tonight, is that Timothy was willing to be at the disposal and the use of Paul, and he was a man who was faithfully serving the Lord. Pete Peterson's first contact with Vietnam was in the Vietnam War. During a bombing raid in 1966, his plane was shot down and he was taken a prisoner. Over 30 years later, he returned as a U.S. ambassador to Vietnam. One press article called him a walking billboard of reconciliation. He realized years ago that God had not saved his life for him to live in anger. Because he believed this, he used the rest of his life and his position to make a difference by pushing for better safety standards for children in Vietnam. So this individual is willing to forgive those who had punished him. And same way with Timothy, Timothy was willing to be at the disposal of Paul and be used for God's service. Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. And so Paul's trust. Paul knew all his plans were subject to God's will. And he didn't know the outcome of whether he would face execution or be released. He recognized the sovereignty of God in his life. And he said, you know what? I am at your disposal. Same way with Timothy being at the disposal of Paul. Paul was at the disposal of Christ. And he didn't not care. You look at chapter 1, verse 19, it says, I don't care whether I live or die, but I want God to be glorified. So he was at the disposal of God. When a famous theologian visited a leading U.S. seminary, a student asked him, what is the greatest single thought that ever crossed your mind? Expecting a profound theological answer, the class waited breathlessly for this reply. He bowed his head in thought and then slowly lifted his head and said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is what motivated Paul to love sacrificially. We also see here eight characteristics of godliness in Epaphroditus. Verse 25, yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. It was necessary for the Philippian church to send Epaphroditus to minister to Paul. And Epaphroditus was a native of Philippi. Outside of this passage, little is known about him. His name means lovely or loving. Philippians 4:18, he was sent to Paul with gifts from the Philippian church. He was also to stay and remain in Rome with Paul for the purpose of serving him. It says here the word send, in the same word, the original for the apostle. And so thinking about the same word that's used for in the original Greek, is used for the apostle, is used here, is the Philippian church sent Epaphroditus to minister to Paul. And now Paul is sending him back the same way to the Philippian church to encourage them. And they sent him for the purpose of providing this love gift to Paul. And also see the word here, my. And Paul had a deep love and relationship with Epaphroditus. He calls him my brother. And so he was a believer in the Lord. This friendship and camaraderie as a serve together. Paul was sending him home early, and it needed some explanation to the Philippian church. Paul was thankful for his service, but he was wanting him to return to Philippi and become a blessing to them. And he also says the word here, fellow worker. This means participant with Paul in the labors of the gospel. And so he was partnering with Paul in the work of advancing the gospel. We also see the word here, fellow soldier. This is a word here that is a share of the dangers involved in standing firm for Christ. They had a common enemy, and they were willing to. He was willing to proclaim the gospel no matter what the enemy did. They had a joint struggle. You think back to Philippians. Paul was under house arrest there, and an earthquake happened, and that's when the Philippian jailer received Christ. The same way, this Epaphroditus might have been here present in Philippi when this took place, and he's seen how that Paul was persecuted. He as well was willing to join in with Paul and suffer for Christ by bringing this gift to Paul. We also see the word here, your messenger. His relationship to the Philippian church, he acted as their messenger. He also ministered to my need. He served as the minister, he functioning officially on their behalf and performing a service to Paul. He was presenting an acceptable sacrifice to God on their behalf. Philippians 4:18. It reminds me of an individual named Hans Egede. When Hans Egede went to Greenland as a missionary in 1721, he didn't know the Inuit language. His temperament was often overbearing, and he struggled to be kind to the people. In 1733, a smallpox epidemic swept through Greenland, wiping out almost two-thirds of the Inuit people and claiming Egede's wife as well. This shared suffering melted Egede's harsh demeanor, and he began to tirelessly labor to care for the people physically and spiritually, because his life now better represented the stories he told them of God's love. The Inuits could at last grasp his desire to love them too. Even in suffering, their hearts turned to God. The same way, Epaphroditus had the same longing. He loved the Philippian church, just as this Hans loved the people of Greenland. Epaphroditus longed and loved his Philippian believers. Verse 26, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. This longing, his own feelings for the Philippians. He was also distressed. Epaphroditus' feelings for the Philippians, he was troubled, he was confused, he was chaotic. His heavy state of restlessness, that results from time of turmoil or great trauma. So Epaphroditus was troubled when he found out the Philippians knew he was sick. And also it says here that the Philippians, they should receive him as a hero. He should receive a hero's welcome when he returned. And think about this context, that maybe Epaphroditus as well as Paul thought maybe that the Philippian church was thinking that he was a burden, and Epaphras was more concerned about the Philippians worrying than his own sickness. And so he was almost sickness, almost to death, but he was more concerned with encouraging the Philippian church. And so he put the people's needs above his own. He wanted to encourage them as he traveled back with this letter of Philippians back to the church of Philippi. It reminds me of an individual named Desmond Doss, who irritated his drill instructor and fellow soldiers. During basic training, Desmond Doss irritated his drill instructor and fellow soldier. A pacifist by conviction, he refused to carry a weapon into battle, and this made his peers doubt his courage. Trained as a medic, the young Christian had no qualms about facing combat, but his goal was to save lives. Doubts about Doss would change, however, when his military unit faced combat. During the World War II battle of Okinawa, he ducked under a machine gun fire to pull the wounded to safety. He prayed, "Lord, give me strength to save just one more wounded soldier." Eventually, he lowered more than 70 injured men down a hill for further medical attention. For his efforts, Desmond Doss was awarded the Medal of Honor, the highest honor for his country to bestow. It reminds you of Epaphroditus. He had the same love to see the people that he ministered among to be encouraged. He wanted this Philippian church to be encouraged. And he, just as this Desmond Doss had a desire to bring people to safety. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And so his sickness, perhaps by the time he had reached Rome, he'd become seriously ill. But then it says here, but God, for God had to intervene to save Epaphroditus. God displayed his mercy on this man by returning his health. We also see the word here, mercy. But now God had mercy on him. Paul was sending him back home to encourage the hearts. They needed him more than Paul did. And so Paul was wanting to send him back to encourage the believers. I already mentioned this, but the sorrow upon sorrow, God supernaturally healing this man, spared Paul having sorrow upon sorrow. He was spared the additional sorrow that his death would have been brought. Don Track wanted to know what life was all like, what life was like for the homeless people. So he concealed his identity and went to live on the streets of the city. He found out that food and shelter were offered by many organizations. At one shelter, you could spend the night if you listened to a sermon beforehand. He appreciated the guest speaker's message and wanted to talk with him afterward. But as Don reached out to shake the man's hand and ask if he could talk with him, the speaker walked right past him as if he did not exist. Don learned that what was missing most in ministry to the homeless in this area were people who were willing to build relationships. So he began an organization called Servant Center to offer help through friendship. What Don encountered at the shelter was the opposite of what people who heard the Apostle Paul experienced. When he shared the gospel, he gave himself too. He testified in his letter to the Thessalonians, "We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us." And so the same way, Epaphroditus, he longed and he loved the Philippian church, and he wanted to go back and encourage them. Verse 28, "Therefore I sent him more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and may be less sorrowful." And so Paul again wants to send him back. In the light of God's healing, this man, Paul was sending him hastily back to his home. He may have retained Epaphroditus for a longer period. So think about it, if he did not get sick, Paul would have kept him longer to minister to his needs. But now, because the church had heard about his sickness, he's now wanting to hastily send him back to encourage them. We all see the word here, rejoice. Now with the return of their friend, they could rejoice with the news of the letter from Paul, how God had spared Epaphroditus' life. And there also says here, less sorrow. This speaks about their anxious or their worry or their concern for their godly leader, this Epaphroditus. Paul was concerned with the well-being of the churches, and he wanted to send Epaphroditus back. Even though he could have used Epaphroditus, he wanted to send him back to the Philippian church to encourage them. Golden Meir knew both struggle and success during her life. As Prime Minister of Israel, she experienced many episodes of conflict and loss, as well as the periodic joy of success and victory in life of the fledgling state of Israel. She said of joy and of sorrow, "Those who don't know how to weep with their whole heart don't know how to laugh either." Same way, Epaphroditus had experienced both that love and that sorrow with the Philippian church, and he wanted to go and encourage them. So look at verse 29. It says, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem." So first of all, we're here, receive him. He did not want Philippians to alienate Epaphroditus. He deserved a hero's welcome. And some in the church believed that they might reject Epaphroditus because he left early. But Paul wanted to lift him up as a hero in ministering to his need. It says here, such men, they owed him their gratitude for his service in the church and his ministry to Paul. It says here also the word here, esteem, to hold him in high honor. He was willing to sacrifice his time and his health to minister to Paul. Soon after the New Testament times, a group of Christians banded together in association they called Parabolani, which means gamblers. Taking Epaphroditus as their model, they visited the prisoners and ministered to the sick, especially those with dangerous communicable diseases who no one else would help. They boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went. So these individuals were willing to go out and risk their own health by sharing the gospel with prisoners and those who had diseases that they could receive. But they were willing to, they didn't consider their own lives as something they should hold back the gospel. They're willing to sacrifice their lives in sharing the gospel. Same way in verse 30, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So think about it. He came close to death. He considered the cost worthy of his service. It was not regarding his life. He was willing to risk his own life and to throw it aside so that he could voluntarily minister to Paul. And he was at the disposal of God in ministering to Paul. As far as an illustration, the city of Carthage in North Africa. On the Mediterranean coast of North Africa, he suffered a severe plague in AD 252. The inhabitants were so frightened of contagion that they refused to touch the dead bodies or even bury them. Cyprian, bishop of the church, led the Christians in the difficult and dangerous task of ministering to the sick and dying and burying the thousands of dead. The spiritual influence of that silent but powerful testimony of their unbelieving and formerly hostile neighbors led some to trust in Christ. Think about it, this church had a plague that broke out in North Africa, and this church was willing to go out and to minister to those who were suffering from this plague, as also their family members who had died from this plague. They're willing to lay their lives out at God's disposal to share the gospel. And would you be willing to put yourself in harm's way to share the gospel? So think about these characteristics of Timothy and Epaphroditus, and as far as application, do any of these characteristics describe you? Would you be willing to put the needs of others before yourself? Would you be willing to follow someone else's orders? Are you today training others to become Timothys of tomorrow? And so, as a review in the outline, Timothy was similar to Paul. He was sympathetic to the concerns of others. He was single-minded. He was seasoned or experienced. He was submissive. He was sacrificial. And he was serviceable. As far as Epaphroditus, he was a brother in Christ. He was a fellow worker. He was a fellow soldier. He was a messenger. And he was a minister. He was compassionate. And he was an encourager. And lastly, he was humble. Think about all these characteristics we've looked at tonight. These two individuals, Paul lifted up and said, make these people your role models and follow their example of putting other people's needs before your own. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this passage and encourage us to think about the characteristics that other people see in our lives. That they see us as faithful, that they see us as compassionate, that they see us as willing to put other people's needs before our own, and that they see us as humble. May we desire today to put you first, to lay down our lives, and be willing to be at your disposal. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's close in a hymn, and I'll just choose one of my favorites, Victory in Jesus. So Victory in Jesus. I'm not sure what number it is, though. 473.